Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm always right.
That is a lot.
we posted this question to our listeners. We got two responses.
Here's the thing.
That's all we need because both responses agree with me. Hashtag Team Chris.
Here's the thing.
Okay. What's the thing?
Team Stupid Chris.
I believe you're adding it to the prompt there, buddy.
All right. Poor team management, Stupid Chris.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Now here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think we're arguing?
Which was worse, or which would be worse, John Laurinaitis and John Cena main eventing over Punk and Bryant at Over the Limit back in 2012, or the possibility of Rollins and Sting main eventing over Cena and... Cena and Rollins main eventing over Sting and Rollins.
You understand that this has... nothing to do with match quality right now. Like, match quality, of course, Cena and Laurinaitis
is
worst match.
Sure, sure. But even from, like, a storyline standpoint or a fan reaction standpoint, Jonah brought it up, Laurinaitis was never over.
No.
Well, and in their minds...
I will fight that People Power... Not necessarily with me, not necessarily with you, but People Power was over.
With people booing, yes.
There's a good chunk of people who are, like, ironically into People Power.
Okay, and those hipster blank holes can go suck it, okay? But I'm just saying, like, if this was John Cena and Vince McMahon circa, like, 1998, 1999, sure.
Stone Cold and Vince McMahon?
But I'm just saying.
Okay.
Whoever in Vince McMahon circa 1998, 1999.
Yeah, okay.
That's the point I'm making. Then absolutely, yes, because the reaction that Vince got then is comparable to almost none. Then you got John Laurinaitis, who didn't even have a fraction of that.
See, here's the thing. It's
a storyline that no one really got behind.
No, but here's the way I see it.
Okay.
See...
the incorrect way, but go ahead.
You shut your dirty trap mouth.
I will not, but okay.
There is... so that match had, like, in kayfabe consequences that were theoretically important to what was going on in the show.
Theoretically, yes.
I mean, there was a build-up. There was a...
and remind me what those consequences were, if you remember.
If John Laurinaitis lost, he would get fired.
Okay.
He would no longer be in charge of the company. He was the authority corporation... you know,
what that match sounds like? The end of a subpar Raw. Not the end of a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. That sounds like the end of a subpar Raw.
What do you mean?
Like, a match like that, like, if he loses, he's no longer in charge.
We have that all the time. That's how Survivor Series ended. One of the big four ended with that.
Yeah,
last Survivor Series.
Authority are bigger deals.
Yeah, but they weren't supposed
to. I put Laurinaitis, like, on the same level of, like, Brad Maddox.
Laurinaitis was supposed to be. And, like...
I know. He was supposed to be.
And so...
but he wasn't.
Here's the thing. So, in kayfabe, there's precedent for somebody losing power and control of the company to be a main event-worthy stipulation.
Sure.
Again... I feel like, because here's the thing, you're trying to put me on the side of defending this match, and that's stupid, because the match was terrible.
I'm just saying, match aside, okay, this is like ending a pay-per-view on Kane versus anybody, any face you can think of.
Okay.
And if Kane loses, he's no longer the director of operations. I put that on the same level.
Yeah.
And, like, again, like, that's the end of maybe a Raw. It shouldn't be the end of a pay-per-view.
No, okay, it shouldn't be. But here's... that's still, like, there is a thought process of... You can say there's a thought process of, oh, this... a person losing power of the company is a big deal and should main event a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
There is a defense. It's a bad defense, and it's
sure.
It doesn't hold water.
Laurinaitis was fighting in defense of general managership of two shows.
But can you? Here's the thing.
Not over the company, just those two shows.
We're sitting here arguing over the validity of this of this claim.
Right.
But the point is, the claim exists.
Okay.
What claim can you say that Cena should go on after Sting other than Cena goes on last. Cena's fighting for the world, for the United States Championship, while Sting is fighting for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
I don't have one, but that doesn't make it true.
So look at it this way.
Okay.
Look at it this way. If the match was Sting versus John Laurinaitis and Cena versus John Laurinaitis, which one should go on last?
The one with Sting in it.
That's what I'm saying! That's my whole point.
Can we just take Laurinaitis out of the equation?
My whole point is that there's...
That makes no sense to your point. But okay, whatever.
No, my point is that there... And it looks like, because... I mean, Seth Rollins went on Raw and talked about the Sting stuff before leading up to the big deal of the Cena stuff.
Well, Cena was in action that night.
Yeah, I know. But, like, in his opening promo, he addressed the Sting stuff first, but then on top of that, the Cena stuff.
Well, part of that is, you know, the Sting stuff is opening up the show to get people in.
Are you not worried that they're going to put on Cena and Rollins as the main event?
I'm worried, and it shouldn't happen. But I'm just saying, like, the mindset of opening with Seth Rollins talking about the Cena stuff is to draw people in and keep them in. Okay? He brings up the Cena stuff as, like, I don't want to say an afterthought, but kind of an afterthought. Because even that promo was like, oh yeah, and also including the John Cena match or whatever.
I am so envious of you that you have the optimistic heart to be able to view that as the tone of that promo.
I have to, or I get sad. And I don't like being sad. My life is sad enough on its own. I don't want my television to make me even sadder about my life.
3 hours a week.
3 hours a week, sometimes six.
Yeah.
I mean, we got Tough Enough out of the way, so there's that sadness. It's all gone.
But I don't want to indicate that Cena versus Laurinaitis. That was, I will say, I think, again, making grandiose worst thing ever statements is what got me in trouble last week.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was the worst pay-per-view match. It's the worst pay-per-view match since I started watching. So it just beats out Bret Hart and Vince McMahon. But I feel very comfortable saying this is worse than Bret Hart Vince McMahon. Because as bad as that match was...
Because, yeah, at least it meant something. Like, it was, you were excited to see it.
There was still like a, I've been waiting 13 years for this moment.
No one waited a week to watch John Cena. Everyone showed up to watch CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Maybe some kids were watching for Cena versus Laurinaitis.
No. So that's the thing. That was
they were there for Cena.
And performance match quality wise, I feel comfortable saying worst pay per view match in the past 10 years.
I could get solidly behind that. I mean, I'm sure someone listening to this could come up with something worse. Sure.
Yeah, probably. But no, it was bad.
And honestly, like, my response was like, no, but you guys, John Laurinaitis and John Cena. That's what other argument do you need?
I will agree. Yeah, match quality, terrible.
Look at that. We're finding some middle ground here.
Yes, we are. We can agree on that.
So, can we move on now? Are you okay?
Yes, we can. But card-wise, this other one's worse. But go on.
100% of the vote says otherwise.
100% of the vote is wrong.
I mean...
Here's the thing. Honestly, it's just you're arguing about the wrong thing. You're not arguing what I'm arguing.
Okay, alright, fair enough. I can't argue with that, I guess. But you're wrong. Alright, let's move on.
Okay, alright.
What's her face apologized.
Yeah.
I don't really care if it's sincere or not, honestly. A, because I barely know her name, And B, of course you're going to be apologetic after all that.
Yeah.
I mean, she would be a true monster if she didn't.
Here's the thing.
And I almost expect her not to apologize.
Here's the bizarre, like... weird irrelevancy of that whole situation. Uh-huh. It was about 20 seconds into you talking that I was like, he's not talking about Summer Rae and Rusev.
No, but I laughed for all the wrong reasons during that segment this week. I can't remember what word it was, but there was one word that Rusev described, or Rusev said so weirdly, I can't remember what it was, though. Like, it was a word that had it was a past tense word that had ED at the end, but it wasn't, like, you don't pronounce it, the ED, like, as a separate consonant. Or whatever.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Anyway, it was weird, it was funny, and I laughed. And also, I thought it was funny that Rusev brought a flag to talk to his girlfriend. I did post a tweet on Classic Ring Attire, and I can't repeat that tweet. Because there's a B word in it. But they love flags. Is what I was getting at.
You know, like... Honestly, here's the problem I'm realizing.
Okay.
Every match... Because mm-hmm. I was thinking about, like, what we were going to talk about. The feuds that were going on right now. Where they were headed. Mm-hmm. We have champions. What we should be excited about. What we're dreading. Da da da. And... every time I was like, here's what I'm going to say to Chris, you know, we sit down and record.
Right.
And every single one started with, you know, but like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. So I do have one question about what happened on Raw this week.
Okay.
Are they going to have Randy Orton join Bro Reigns?
It's weird, isn't it?
I don't want it to happen. Like, of all the possibilities, that seems like the worst one. Or it could be a way for... And a part of me was hoping, it was like, maybe this is a way we give Randy Orton a little bit more time off, even though he just came back from having time off. But I would be okay with it, because I'd rather that than force him into something where he doesn't really fit.
It just... The whole thing feels like a sequel movie where they couldn't get all the original actors back.
Yeah.
With the whole Shield and Wyatt thing. They're doing it again, but...
One guy's injured. One guy's the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
One guy got really famous and is now too good for what started out.
Uh-huh. And
one guy, like, fell off the face of the earth and is now, like, a pediatrician somewhere.
So they found someone, like, bigger and hairier.
Yeah.
And less gingery. And on the other side, they're like... We're going to fill the spot in somehow. We're going to keep it a surprise, but really we have no idea.
And so, like, you've seen the trailer, mm-hmm. and you're sitting there being like, are they going to acknowledge it?
Right.
And, like, part of you wants to go see the movie to, like, are they going to acknowledge it? But you're really dreading it, so it's going to kind of end up on Netflix.
You're not sure. Yeah, you're not sure if you want to pay money for it.
Exactly. So, like, that's the thing. This is the I'll watch it later on Netflix level of quality. Yeah. Of this
Did you see who the internet... Like, it was... already, like it was already proved to be fake, but there was a conspiracy this weekend that said that the third member was going to be Baron Corbin. I'm like, I was about to set fire to the internet. And a few others got mad as well. I don't know who it is. I have, somewhat of a feeling that it might be Cesaro. But you then think? That's what I thought, like, when the show started.
Yeah.
And then as I watched, I was like, please don't add Randy.
Yeah.
And then he did the whole thing where he attacked him because he was talking to him. And I'm like, well, maybe that'll, like, take him out of action for a while instead of him coming back and being angry.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're setting up for, like, a future Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt thing and expect us to remember it by showing that clip, like, a billion times. Like, Roman Reigns at Money in the Bank and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Getting tired of that clip.
Do you have a dream pick?
I don't know. Like, part of me is kind of okay with them if they pick with Cesaro.
Yeah.
Because he's not really doing anything else, I don't think.
Yeah. Here's the thing, like...
But, I was like, I want Cesaro to be, like, doing his own thing, but, like, bigger.
That's the thing.
So
that's
muddle him in this crap?
There's...
But then again, it's either that or not be on the show.
I don't know, in the time that I've been watching... I don't know if there has been a time where there are so many people who are at that, I'd like to see them be champion within the next year
right.
level. Because, I mean, Ziggler, Cesaro, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, I'm fine with being champion within the next year.
Dean Ambrose.
Bray
would be nice at some point to hold a championship somewhere.
Yeah, Bray would be not bad. And that's just first time champion. Like, yeah. Daniel Bryan desperately needs another title run.
I would be okay with that.
You know, I would. And it's just.
And like, see, I even had that thought. I was like, what if Daniel Bryan came back and was that third member?
Yeah.
I'd be okay. That would be a great surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's history there because.
He joined the Wyatts.
He joined the Wyatts
for
goading them.
3 weeks.
Ha, goading. Sorry.
That was dumb.
I hate it. I hate myself.
And so, like. All of these people are like, I want them to have successful single runs with the top title.
Right.
And so every time it's like, that guy should be in a group. It's like, well, that's not going to happen then.
Right.
And I was looking like, okay, so the main event is the one guy that I really love doing this. And here's the thing. Is like, he has a match against a part-timer. And part of me feels really bad because I'm like, I want a good Sting feud. I want a good... You finally got Sting. Just do something.
Yeah. And, like, they're starting to with this whole Seth thing. And I, personally, I kind of laughed a bit with his antics this week. And the trash thing was not great, but it was fun. It was okay.
Yeah.
There was moments.
I do wish it would be a little bit more about, like, Sting wanting to check off that final box in his championship.
Rather than, like, just now mentioning it. This week?
Mm-hmm.
And wish he would, like, opened with that?
Yeah, instead of the whole, like, you said mean things about Triple H.
Right.
You're not as good as Triple H, so I'm gonna fight you.
And take your statue.
Yeah.
What do you think that statue is made of? Because there's no way in the world they, like, full-on, like, made it out of whatever's made of.
The other ones? It crunched pretty well.
It did crunch pretty well.
So.
I was expecting tinfoil, but they found something else.
Do you know?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, okay. But like, so that's the thing. It's like I'm torn on this Sting thing,
mm-hmm.
and like honestly, at this point, they treat John Cena like a part timer who's there all the time.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I see that. Okay.
Like he gets,
I had to think about that. Yeah, you're.
But
right.
He gets the same treatment that like the part timers get at this point. He gets that returning legend who can still go kind of feel.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, here's the thing. Like, because I was waxing lyrical about John Cena not too long ago.
No, you weren't. It wasn't too long. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, he wasn't that then. But it took just like the getting rid of the weekly challenge. It's like, and no, he's right back. All the goodwill built up is gone in a matter of seconds.
You know Jonah is loving it to hear all that.
To be fair, I said that was probably going to happen at the time. Like,
I did not have faith
in them maintaining.
Just reel it all back.
I really thought Cena was going to lose to...
Just like how everyone who responded to last week said I was right, and now you're just saying, oh, you're not arguing the same thing, so you're not right.
We're not arguing the same thing. You don't get to pick what I'm arguing. You don't get to say Team Chris is this, so automatically Team Joel is this. Because if we're doing that, Team Joel says that Shawn Michaels is a good wrestler, so you have to say he's a bad wrestler. Like, that is poor.
See, that's the thing. You're twisting the argument to basically so that you win all the time.
Win all the time.
In your own brain, yes. In your own brain, you win 100% of the time. And everyone else, it's probably maybe 50-50 at best.
I do not think it is 50-50.
It's pretty close.
No, it is not. We'll have to start keeping track.
Okay, alright.
Also, I won the predictions last year.
By one
The one thing
match.
Where we had a definitive scorecard. The one time we had a definitive scorecard to see who won and who lost. It was me. I won.
By one match.
Yes, one match. That's all it takes.
One match. Harley does a wizard make.
That's all it takes.
Okay, whatever.
So, God, what were we actually talking about?
John Cena.
Yeah, okay. I really, honestly, and it's probably my fault for being trustful, but I really honestly, truly thought that, Owens and Cena 3 would end in Owens winning.
I mean, that's what we're all hoping for, yes.
Yeah, I just,
and I was keeping my fingers crossed for that as well.
I thought it would happen. I thought, like, it would go Owens, Cena, Owens. That's the proper thing to do. That's very clearly set out in front of you. And I really thought it would happen.
And now it looks like they're teasing Owens and Ryback. But then again, Owens has, like, all these loose ends with so many people.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because, you know, great heel, the one that pisses off everybody, so sure, why not?
Yeah, I guess, but...
I mean, we would want him a little bit higher up on the card, but...
And that's part of the thing, is, like, he's in that thing where, like, I'd like to see him champion in the next year.
Yeah,
and
absolutely,
so,
yeah.
And I don't see that happening, despite really wanting it, and so... Yeah. I don't know. I think the perpetual treatment of Ziggler, the way it's been... has kind of...
worn on you?
It has. And so... because it was so long, and I was so intense on it,
mm-hmm.
it feels like... everything that feels like a step up or a step in the right direction doesn't really count or matter anymore. So, yeah, Owens is on the main card. Yeah, Owens is maybe going for the IC championship.
Mm.
But, I mean, that's part of the thing is, like...
And it's the IC belt. The C is championship. So you just said the Intercontinental Championship.
You know what? Fair point.
It's not just a you thing. Like, that's something I've noticed a lot of people do. And I'm pretty sure I've done it myself.
I totally
but that's become
that
that's
one.
Become my new... OCD thing.
The ATM machine pin number thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, fair point. I was wrong there.
Look at you.
I am only right 94% of the time. You're right.
Did you know you could just create statistics?
No, but that's the thing. Is like, and it feels like that title isn't that big of a deal because... it doesn't indicate any sort of they trust this guy or maybe he's on his path to a championship.
Right.
It's just...
because there's no map anymore.
No.
Like, it's...
And here's the thing. You know what? I don't need and I don't want a clear-cut map. I don't need
sure,
to
yeah,
see...
Sure, yeah. We don't need a formula because formula is where it gets boring.
Yeah. But...
give it to us.
No, the thing is, like, I don't know what you're doing anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I'm honestly... You swerved me away from hating Reigns like I did at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You clearly were dead intent on him being champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to give it a shot, but you're not even pushing that properly anymore. He's in a tag team over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you... I don't know what you're doing. I don't know... So...
I agree. You are correct.
I don't know. And that's... to me, that's the worst situation. It's not bad booking. It's not booking I disagree with.
It's indifferent booking.
It's nonsensical booking.
Well, that, yeah.
It's...
week to week?
Well, the, yeah.
You're making up your mind week to week what you want.
Exactly. And that's... You're making a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the end of the day. It's what you're doing. I should tune in weekly to watch this TV show,
mm-hmm.
to watch these characters develop. And I get it's a soap opera, and I get you have a limited cast, so people who are done with feuds return to the same feuds, and
right.
you have 3 hours to fill every week.
Mm-hmm. So okay, let me ask you this. Do you think that, like, you know, with these chosen couple of guys that WWE has tried
uh-huh.
in the past few years, majority of them seem to have flopped, essentially. Like, the original Ryback run.
Yeah.
Picked up a lot of steam, and then they kind of booked them terribly, and people turned on them quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And same with Romans. Like, people were big on him around the time of, you know, the WrestleMania where it was between him and Batista. When he was still in the Shield.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then, like, a year later, people are like, no.
Yeah.
Do you think, after witnessing that, do you think WWE might be a little gun shy as far as pulling the trigger on pushing certain or putting a lot of eggs behind one basket?
Because
that's how I feel a lot of times with like with Ziggler, this push with Cesaro, and even recently with Owens. It's like they want to do something more with them, but they kind of take it back at the last minute.
Because
they might be gun shy.
I don't think it's Roman's and Ryback and that failure.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think it's Brock Lesnar.
There's just that wall. Lesnar wall.
I think there's that he was the guy. You give him, you push him to the moon. He's gonna be your guy, and he walks.
Right.
And I think, and here's the thing. It wasn't.
You're talking about when he was originally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it wasn't even just him. Like, God, who was super American after Hogan? Lex Luger.
Yeah.
He walked.
Mm-hmm.
He had another company that he could turn to.
But and he almost did that with Bobby Lashley as well. Like, they were starting to really get behind him.
Yeah.
And, like, he got injured, and then, I don't remember the specifics, but I think he, like, something along the lines of he got injured and just never came back.
And so, I think WWE as a company has always been fairly gun-shy on that kind of thing. And
even Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because they do have some examples to point to of here's why, but I cannot think of a really good time where they have pulled the trigger because they wanted to or because it was the right time. They've always pulled the trigger on a guy because they've had to. And as long as John Cena's there, they don't have to.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
I mean, that's and I don't think they won't. I don't think they will if they don't have to.
I mean, they kind of did finally pull the trigger with Daniel Bryan just because the fans forced them to.
Yeah, but like I don't. We won't ever get to know what.
Well, yeah, just because of nature
what Bryan's so post Mania would have been like, but like that was begrudging.
Yeah,
and part of the thing is like, yeah, I don't know.
Stuff like that really makes me yearn for. I know you're not going to be able to find anything close to them right now, but it makes me yearn for like another Undertaker and another Kane, both in and outside of the ring, like those constants. You know,
yeah.
You ain't got to worry about whether allegiance lies with other wrestling companies or if they're going to be fickle about staying or leaving or just, you know, walking away and just never even wrestling again. You know, these guys. You know, they were company men, they were, you know, consummate professionals. And like in Kane especially, like he's a constant thing since he debuted as that character. Even yeah. Before then. You know?
Yeah. Part of it is,
and I know you're not gonna be able to find like that takes special kind
of people.
It does.
It does. Part of it is they've been pretty clear that that WWE feels like their best business model is one giant mega superstar.
Yeah.
The way Hogan and Cena were.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand, and let me tell you a story. When I was in the fourth, fifth grade.
Around that time, yeah.
Around that time. Big into the Attitude Era. I wasn't big into the Attitude Era, but the Attitude Era was going big.
Yep.
And I was basically learning about wrestling via being told stuff on the playground.
Right.
And I think I've told before, like, I remember very early on, I remember people hating The Rock and, like, coming in school one day and be like, yeah, The Rock sucks. I'm like, no, The Rock's awesome.
Right.
And, like, looking back on it, I don't know if it was, like, a Rocky Maivia sucks and then Rock's awesome.
Or a corporate champion.
Or if he had turned heel or had turned face and, like, I didn't know.
Right.
But, so, people would, you know, they were kids and they would talk to me about wrestling. Like, I knew what they were talking about, and this guy should fight that guy, and there's these companies, and da-da-da-da-da. And I was trying, you know, my little brain to piece together as best I could.
Mm.
And as best I could is there were three major wrestlers the words Stone Cold, The Rock, and Goldberg.
Yeah.
Those are the ones on shirts and backpacks. And there were three major companies, which were WWF, WCW, and NWO.
Right.
And so, in my wasn't allowed to watch wrestling world...
That's all you knew.
I puzzled out that there was a big, you know, superstar at each company.
Right.
So
because at that point, everyone was convinced NWO was its own thing outside of WCW.
Well, I mean...
And again, you're also like...
I was nine and being told this by nine-year-olds.
There, you're right.
So, yeah, if the TV said it was a different
point,
company...
At that point, I actually believe, you know, the Giant was Andre the Giant's son. Like, I completely believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing, is like, you had two superstars that were so ingrained in pop culture simultaneously that, like, Little Joel thought they had to exist in separate companies.
Right.
But they didn't. They both existed in your company. You can do it.
Yeah.
The success of one wrestler does not automatically diminish the success of a second wrestler.
Right.
You don't get X number of relevance points, and so you dump them all into one wrestler. I don't know. you could go back through archives of this podcast.
Yeah.
To return to the build multiple stars, you know, not just one star argument.
No, you're absolutely right.
But it's just, it's... To answer your question, to take the longest possible way to answer your question.
I forgot what that question was.
About WWE being gun-shy.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I think they're gun-shy because they won't pull the trigger until they have to.
Because they've been hurt before.
Well, not even that so much. Just they it's, I get it being a safety thing.
Yeah.
But every guy, every successful guy.
And I also understand, like, their hesitancy to back away from Cena because I don't want to say the entire company rests on his successes and failures, but it's pretty close. A large portion of it.
Yeah.
You know, a large portion of their company depend on Cena.
So, yeah.
And yeah, like, they should be, like, thinking about what do we do whenever Cena's done for good, you know? Yeah. If that ever happens, you know, before he you know, dies or whatever.
From a business standpoint, I totally, you know, I very much get Cena. I very much get a hesitancy to not cram Cena onto everything.
Right.
And continually put him there. But, like, you don't, you can, most of these guys can sell merchandise.
Oh, yeah. If you put enough behind them.
Here's the thing. You put some time and care and attention, and you own a Jack Swagger t-shirt.
Because it's a good shirt. Because
it's a good shirt.
It's a good shirt.
Like, that's the thing, is, like... Jack Swagger moved some merchandise for you.
He did.
And, like, that's... It doesn't go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Speaking of, because it made me think of my Team Hell No shirt.
Yeah.
That I bought because, again, it was something that I enjoyed, and it was a ridiculous shirt, so it moved merchandise for me. But reading Daniel Bryan's book, he also was in favor of Team Friendship.
Well, because Team Friendship's better.
No, that's what he said. He's like, don't even put that one on there. Yeah, he didn't even want to put it up to a vote.
No.
Yeah, but
Team Friendship's hilarious and awesome and perfect for that stupid tag team.
Right?
And Team Hell No sucks and is the worst.
Yeah, no, you're right. What were we talking about? Merchandise. Yeah. And see, that's the thing. Like, you had, like... All Samoa Joe had to do was appear on one NXT special. Then they put t-shirts up on their website, and they were gone.
Yeah.
Granted, that's also, you know, the legend behind Samoa Joe throughout the years that people already know of. But they didn't really have to put a lot behind him other than he's at the close of a big event. Yeah. You know? Same with, you know, Finn Balor and... a bunch of the other NXT people
who were
doing their thing.
Like, he's
there, and just people want to get their shirt organically without them having, like, new shirts turned out every week that they have to have.
Yeah.
You know? Where they have to really push that Cena merch. But these are guys that, like, people are enthusiastic about them and is willing to pay money to have their shirts.
Yeah. So much of the problem is indicative of quick success now versus long-term success.
Right.
Because that's the thing is, like, you know what?
And that's pretty much, like, the basis of everything we've talked about today.
It is. And I get it. For Cena, you can make the exact same shirt in a different color, and it sells again.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with somebody like Jack Swagger, you have to put a little bit of effort into their shirt.
Right.
But you know what? You take a little bit of pride in your merchandise. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's the thing is, like, I want to, like, I am at the point where, like, I can only hide so much that I watch wrestling. Like, I don't use a fake name on the podcast.
No.
Like, it's, and
you don't, like, you know, when we were posting on Pulse, we don't use fake names on there either.
No, I mean, and so.
Well, probably we should have. Now that I think about it, but, you know, whatever.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I have wrestling shirts that I've worn out in public. I, you know, it's. It's not as much. We've talked about, like, you're careful. You don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
You don't want to be made fun of.
Right.
But there's, you know, I would like to spend money on merchandise to support people.
Mm-hmm.
Except sometimes their shirts look stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really want to support that guy. But again, I'm not going to pay.
So that's when you go to, like, Pro Wrestling Tees or whatever. Because they have actual, like, artists and people who, like, spend time in their shirts.
But that's the thing, is, like, I want to express to WWE, I like this person. I would like to support them. But I don't want to pay $30 or more outrageous WWE shop prices to buy this terrible-looking shirt.
Although, some of it is pretty indicative of the character, because how boring and the same does every Randy Orton shirt look?
Oh, I don't know when he switches shirts.
Exactly. Exactly, because they all look like Affliction shirts.
Yeah, like, that's
and every last one of them, and they put a snake on it, and, like, ooh, it's a snake.
Right? But here's the thing, it's like, I also don't feel compelled to support Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Nothing about Randy Orton in the past four years has been like,
Worn, like, the same kind of, like, same design of trunks for, like, the past decade.
Yeah.
He just changes up the color every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's it.
Randy Orton is in the need of a major character shift.
Yeah, he's...
Randy Orton needs, like, a Biker Taker level of, like, character shift.
Honestly, at
Randy
this point,
Orton.
Sure. Why not, you know?
Well, here's the thing. He is not an untalented dude, and he's not especially old. Like, he should still have a good half a decade left in his career.
But there's still something about Randy Orton from the past couple of years, aside from, like, a couple of bright spots. There's something about him over the past couple of years that is so stale.
It is, yeah.
Because it feels like we've seen it all already, and
part of that's what happens when you start that young, but part of it is he has literally been the... I can almost pinpoint it to when he tried to punt Stephanie in the head.
Yeah.
That was the last, like, Randy Orton's doing a thing! And literally after that, there's not a thing I can be like, Randy Orton's doing something!
Mm-hmm.
I know he's doing something. He's on the show a lot.
Right.
But there's nothing where I'm like, that's Randy Orton doing something. I got to tune in to find out the result of that Randy Orton story.
Right. And yet we were supposed to have been super excited about him and Batista main eventing of WrestleMania.
Which is why I need Biker Randy.
Sure.
Or whatever else. It doesn't have to obviously.
Right. But some sort of dramatic shift in character.
Yes.
That he would commit to.
Yes.
Because some part of me feels like he probably... wouldn't, like, if he was, like, young in his career and he was given, like, the crap that Sandow's had to do, there's no way in the world he would even come close to committing as nearly as much as Sandow or Cody Rhodes or whatever.
No.
You know?
But that's how I would care about him again.
Yeah, you're right. So I guess we should, I got a question for the week.
All right.
And it kind of ties into the mail sack because I opened this up to everybody else. So if you want to play the theme song right now, there you should.
Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your mail
sack. And so that's a new feature on the show where Chris kind of indifferently ushers in new segments. Basically, I saw this posted online, and I thought we should bring it up here. It was originally posted as, you know, come up with three wishes for Vince McMahon for three big mark out moments. Now, I just put it, I listed it just as general, like, just three WWE related wishes that you wish, that you want Vince McMahon to make happen.
Yeah.
I'll go through some of them. See which one of them I can actually read on the podcast. This comes from at Yappa Podcast on Twitter. Number one, let the main show be booked more like NXT. Number two, a War Games pay-per-view. I'm guessing Return of War Games. I'm okay with that. And three, no more Orton versus Sheamus. And then he followed that up with, I bet WWE read that tweet as, no, more Orton versus Sheamus. Because commas are important, people. Just always remember that. And then at Evil Jackalope said, one, let the Iron Sheik host Raw always. Two, make Undertaker break kayfab. And three, let my kid be a ring announcer for a day. That would be pretty awesome for number three.
That would be.
I think I got one more. Let me go over to the old Facebook machine. And it was there, and it left. All right. This comes from Nathan on Facebook. Hire back and use Colt Cabana properly. Stop bringing new talent in, wasting their potential. And three, make the Divas division more like the NXT women's division. So, those are our responses for that.
Okay.
Joel, do you have any... Because I know you wanted to do, like, the separate... The markout moments as well as just general wishes.
Yeah, so we talked about it a little bit before recording.
So, basically, you have access to two very specific genes.
Well, that's... Okay. there's several ways we could take this.
Oh, yeah.
So, there's... If there are, like, genuine just markout moments, the three things... Punk coming back...
Yeah, that would be a giant moment.
Shane coming back.
Yes. And which is funny because I think WWE did a poll of, like, who would get the biggest reaction out of you if they came back. And, like, there was a bunch of people on the list. But at the top of the list was, you know, Jeff Hardy. And then right underneath that was Shane.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I voted for Shane.
Yeah, Shane. Jeff Hardy would be cool.
It would be all right.
I don't
see it happening ever.
I don't see it happening.
At least not in a while.
And I also, like...
I guess I shouldn't say ever.
Don't say ever. Like,
yeah.
These past couple of years...
We're sitting here talking about, like, not if, but when will Hulk Hogan come back to the company, you know? Yeah. So I guess we shouldn't say ever.
But part of it is also, like, I feel like Jeff Hardy might be in this, like, a little bit better in your memory than...
Than he actually was.
Yeah.
I remember the biggest thing I remember, especially those last couple years, was just the fan reaction. Dear Lord.
Yeah. Do you have some genuine markouts?
I mean, you know, I CM Punk coming back would be big, you know, personal. I would be a little giddy for Chris Masters. I know you would be the same for John Morrison.
Yeah. John Morrison seems to like where he is, and he's happy.
Sure, yeah, that's fine.
I'm happy for him. Good for him.
Absolutely, sure. And above else, we want our wrestlers that we love to be happy.
Yes.
You know, personally, like, some of the local, like, North Carolina talent that we either know pretty well or just we met a couple times,
mm-hmm.
having one of them make it to the main show would be incredible. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, like... You know, Chastity Taylor, she's been on the show. Really would like her to be on there. Cozone, I love that kid. Or, the more likely, I feel like, would be, you know, Trevor Lee or Andrew Everett. Currently, like, tearing it up. I can't remember if they're currently NXT Tag Team Champions, but I knew it was coming up. Like, they weren't – it wasn't supposed to get out, but it got out, like, a few months ago
on
the taping. So – And they're tearing it up at the Jeff Jarrett's thing currently.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys, yeah, they will probably be the ones that make it. And, you know, I talked to Andrew Everett once.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if Trevor Lee ever came out to Geeksboro when we were doing that thing.
Yeah.
I think he did. But I don't know if I ever got to talk to him.
Okay.
But something like that would be really cool. Be like, I met those guys at a crappy bar or a crappy little... coffee shop or whatever that Joel used to work at.
Okay. So a lot of these, like CM Punk coming back, are Vince doesn't necessarily have
100% of the control over.
Right.
Like
it
has to have.
But if he could work some sort of magic.
So what are things you would mark out for? Genuinely, just like a mark out moment for that Vince could totally do.
Oh man, that one.
I
mean, the biggest one right now would probably be Shane.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if Vince could do that. That's up to Shane as well.
True.
Things like that Vince could do. Return of the Hardcore title.
Yeah.
I would mark out if they announced that was coming back. Especially, like, you know, you have a 24-hour network now.
Mm-hmm.
It could be defended on the road at any time.
Absolutely.
And just send out a tweet like, you know, it's been thrown down, tune into the network right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they haven't done that yet. I would say a return for intellectual savior of the masses.
Yeah, and actually, like, give him.
Well, I'm trying to think of, like, just specific moments. Like,
right.
That specific moment, him coming out in the bathrobe with the microphone being held properly.
Right.
I would mark out for that. And personal markout list.
Okay.
Nobody else would understand, but personal markout list.
Okay.
If Shawn Michaels came back to ask what Triple H is going to tell him.
You and me both. You and me both.
Genuinely mark out like a small child.
Because I don't get to watch Raw live because of my work schedule. If you were watching it live and you called me and you're like, it's happening. Yeah, no, I would I would be very tempted to just leave work and get to the closest television,
yeah,
or live stream or whatever I could find. And I did think of one, and it would be like a way to get two wishes at the same time. And it's totally something outside of Vince's control. But it would be to get a WWE ring, a match between Shinsuke Nakamura and Daniel Bryan. And that would be, like, actually, it's three wishes in one. Because,
yeah.
A, it would get Nakamura in WWE. B, it would make Daniel Bryan healthy enough to get cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Or for WWE to finally clear
him.
And then, you know, three, to have them fight against each other. That's three wishes in one.
Yeah.
That's a good way to get around that.
Actual things just on a more general three wishes for WWE.
Okay. I mean, of course, the women's division.
Women's division, genuinely taken seriously.
I would
seriously.
Like for it not to be the Divas division, but just the women's division.
Women's division being taken seriously.
Hmm.
You know what? I was going to say get rid of Sheamus, but I will give you this. I will give you this compromise. Sheamus goes back to the Performance Center.
And works it out.
Works on it. Sheamus tries NXT. Has to handle the NXT crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Sheamus doesn't go on Raw for a year.
Okay.
He has a year to figure something out.
Do you think that they would actually change Sheamus, or do you think they would be stubborn and leave him the way he is and just claim that he's getting boos because that's a desired reaction?
I don't.
A la Eva Marie.
I don't care.
Okay.
Whichever way you want to do it.
However you want to spend it.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, here's the thing. Like, I mean, in all honesty, I think they've spun Baron Corbin really well. I think he's still struggling with the ring really badly.
Yes.
And I don't think you'll find me on that.
But they've spun it to where it won't confuse people watching at home why they're booing him so much.
Well, that's really
good.
If he's
trying to be a face.
Yeah.
But now that he's embracing with full heel mode, now they're trying to at least make script sense,
mm-hmm,
for it.
And then the
same...
Leaning into the, like, he had a football past, not a wrestling past, where all these other guys just love wrestling and the
right.
art of wrestling. I think it's really clever and smart, and they have
it's a good way to like you said, like make sense for why the crowd is. It might not be the real reason why the crowd is booing him, but in the minds of the viewers at home, that's why.
Yeah.
Now if they can just figure out how to retcon turning Brooklyn heel.
So no, Sheamus, I don't care. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
You can give him a new gimmick. You can let him try and putter around with the gimmick he has.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't show up on the main show for a year.
Yeah.
He has a year to Performance Center /NXT. Get it together.
I'd be okay with that. And see, here's the thing.
That wish was originally get rid of Sheamus. It's not working.
Right.
But I am being generous.
absolutely, because that would be a great wish for me as well. Like, I would not be able to compromise. I would just be like, get rid of him.
No.
And so here's the thing, and we go back to the whole Divas Revolution thing. You know why we can't, beyond the fact that they put a beat the clock challenge in last week, and we made jokes about how, like, oh, we made them, you know, want to have shorter matches.
Mm-hmm.
But you know why it's difficult to really fully take this whole Divas Revolution thing seriously?
Hmm.
Lana and Summer Rae.
It's happening at the same time.
It's happening at the exact same time, and it's the same dumb WWE Divas crap.
Fighting over boys,
and
lots of slaps and hair pulling.
Right. Exactly. And I like Lana. I think Lana's very attractive, and I want nice things for her. Summer Rae, I'm indifferent about, you know? Yeah. So part of me is like, I kind of feel bad for them, and I kind of feel bad for Rusev and Dolph Ziggler just by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you want to talk about this whole, like, we're behind this female empowerment thing, while at the same time you have the same old crap that has given, like, such a stain on the whole Divas division
years. Here's the thing. Everybody in that feud is better than that feud. And Summer Rae's involved in that feud.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I can get behind that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know.
So, Summer Rae, they should be using Summer Rae the way they're using The Miz.
Sure, yeah, because, like, she can... She should
grant a lot of make-a-wishes. She should have a little talk show with the Divas.
Mm-hmm.
She's never going to be a great women's champion.
But she can be a good heel.
If you want to do...
Being, like, that natural arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So...
No, sure, yeah. That would be an anti-Renee Young.
Yeah, that totally works.
Yeah.
I mean, give her her own Christmas movie on ABC Family.
I'm sure that's not outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah, like, that's...
Sure. But, you know, my fear was, and yeah, the news was, you know, Lana... suffered a broken wrist while she was training over the weekend.
Yeah.
And then he said she's going to miss in-ring action for the next 4 months. And I'm like, what in-ring action? But that's the joke. Hooray. Ha, ha, ha. We've passed that. But part of me thinks that it is a little bit scared of they're going to drag this out until she can, like, actually get in the ring. Because obviously this was leading to Lana's in-ring debut.
Yeah.
For a mixed tag match. But part of me is scared that they're going to put this off even further than it already has been, so she can come back. I hope not, because that's, they said 4 months.
Here's my question for you. At the very beginning of the Zack Ryder thing, where the true story thing was getting big.
Times were simpler.
The YouTube channel was getting really big.
Yeah.
The signs were appearing.
Mm-hmm.
This
organic swell of support.
Yes. Was really happening, really taking off. Was looking to be more than just a cool thing for the week. Like, it was really, like, maybe a month in or so. And it looked like it was getting bigger. No signs of stopping. Do you think, at any point in time, around that time period, somebody at WWE said, let's just wait this out?
Just, sure.
It'll
pass.
It'll pass. It'll wear itself out. It's not in our book.
Yeah. I
because if
probably the guy pulling the switches.
Because
honestly, it was probably like he was probably the main one. It's like, yeah, we'll wait it out. Because yes, kind of was thinking they would do the same thing with Daniel Bryan.
Well, that's and so are they just gonna do that with the Divas Revolution?
Possibly.
Let's just wait it out.
If they're like, let's throw this out there. And give them what they – or make them think that we're giving them what they want for a little bit, and then we'll just dial it back.
Yeah.
It's not outside the realm of possibility, and I wouldn't be terribly surprised when if it happens. And part of me is thinking – part of me still is, like, hoping that maybe Charlotte goes in on Monday Night Raw and takes the championship so she does it, so Nikki doesn't break the record.
Yeah.
Because I would like anyone else involved in this Divas Revolution to break that record other than one of the Bellas.
Yeah.
Honestly. I don't, you know, and I know, yes, they are improved in the ring, hooray, but they're still not even close to the skill level that Charlotte and Sasha Banks
and
Becky Lynch are.
No, they're not.
So, I don't know. And it's upsetting because, again, like, I tried the whole cautious optimism thing when the Divas Revolution thing first kicked off, and I went on here and said the same thing, but it still doesn't make it any less disappointing.
And you know what? And part of it is I'm more disappointed and depressed with everything else happening in wrestling right now.
Right.
Like we're getting a nice solid pocket of suck post SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Which is a problem because you have Sting right now. This is
right. This shouldn't be happening.
No, it shouldn't be. Which makes it all the much worse.
Yeah.
And
I'm not saying like the females involved in the Divas Revolution are necessarily doing a bad job right now. They're not.
No, they're not.
And it's just that juxtaposition against this other thing involving another storyline, you know? And it's just, and I know it's like, if this is just a gradual, like, shift towards what we envisioned as a female division, and maybe this is just those baby steps where we're still going to get a little of this, you know, petty crap.
Yeah.
Fine. But let's decrease it like crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Baby steps aren't needed, essentially.
Yeah, the whole Rusev... No, this is the kind of thing where I'm like, you know what? If you want to just break kayfabe for one day and be like, you guys, just... New reboot right here.
Yep.
Go. And then jump right back into kayfabe.
And, you know, a little bit of part of me, you know, again, cautious optimism was still there, but a little bit of me was kind of hoping that's what that Stephanie McMahon segment was, you know, when she introduced those three.
Yeah.
You know, but clearly that wasn't. But I would be okay with a hard reset.
Yeah.
You know?
Just, sorry,
let's,
nope.
Let's just reinstall Windows.
Yeah. So, and yeah, I'm kind of with you where it's like, yeah. I still do see the positive.
So, yeah, it's kind of... Some part of me is, like, feeling a little silly of, like, feeling so down on the whole Demon's Revolution thing. You know, because it is a good step towards the right direction.
It is, but, like, okay, so... But part of it is that Rusev, Ziggler, Lana, Summer Rae thing is in its fourth or fifth... Or sixth week right now.
Mm-hmm. And which, we're so sick of it.
Which means that after four or five or six episodes of Raw, they've looked at it and went, yep, continue that.
Right. Of all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things that they prematurely pulled the plug on, this wasn't one of those.
Yeah.
And when it should have been. When it started with Ziggler's cutting promos against the guy who's not there because he's injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how this started. And yet they're like, nope, stick to it.
We're sitting like, oh, we're getting kind of old. We ran down. Let's add a new thing to make sure this story keeps going.
Yeah.
Summer goes to the locker room.
Oh, and Dolph Ziggler, he gets injured, so he's gone for a month. So Rusev's basically cutting promos on nobody except for Lana.
Mm-hmm.
And Lana's just there as a helpless female who can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, slap and tackle another woman.
I don't know. We need to do what's making you happy.
Okay, what is making
you... I don't know. You started.
Oh, great.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, you know what? I honestly didn't realize I was this burnt out or bummed out.
Right. And honestly, I didn't know I was that bummed out about the whole the Diva Revolution thing until I started watching Raw this week.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm excited for the possibility, but yet I'm so bummed out by the current outlook.
Here's the thing. Everything...
For people that aren't in the Divas Revolution thing.
Yeah. Everything about Raw this week, I'm done with this segment already. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead. I know where the segment's ending, so just go ahead and get it. Even the Divas thing, I was like, I'm not feeling it right now. And that's a shame, because it was great wrestlers.
Yeah.
And so, okay, what's making
Let's talk about what's making us happy.
Making me happy.
What's making me happy?
Wrestling related, Edge and Christian on the Stone Cold podcast.
That's what I was going to go with as well, because I wasn't able to really catch any of Raw mm-hmm. during any downtime at work. So I literally had to watch the entire episode of Raw after 11 p.m., which takes a while. And so by the time I was able to get to the Austin podcast with those two, I was, like, had it on while I was in bed, like, about to go to sleep, but I couldn't because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah.
Because those three are incredible. When he pulled out the tiny little cowboy hat and the ukulele, I was like, oh, my God, I didn't know I needed this in my life.
Somebody online made this comment that really resonated with me mm-hmm. about when it was going off.
Yeah.
It's like watching this podcast end is kind of like your mom picking you up from a sleepover way too early.
Right.
Where everybody else is still there.
Right.
And I was like
no, I wanna continue on.
It is. I was like, yeah. I wanna get them to hang out more.
Yeah.
And so part of what I've really liked about these is there have been times where it genuinely felt like Stone Cold was going to go ahead and ask the question. When he asked Vince about Punk, mm-hmm. when he asked Triple H about China.
Right.
Like, those are like, they got to answer the questions. Right. It's on the network.
And yeah.
Like, it felt like somebody finally cornered them. And so. Mm-hmm.
There's no cut to commercial.
Yeah.
On these. Yeah.
But
on this one, it was just like, these are three friends like that haven't seen each other in a while that just want to, you know, talk and catch up and have fun and. Don't look at me for 3 seconds. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing, and now I want to do that.
Yeah, no, it's just I really dug that, and
like the story of them, like, in like the most, because I remember that episode. It was like the most serious episode of Raw ever. Was when they were like strapping Stone Cold to the Taker cross,
mm-hmm.
and knowing now that Christian was like, "Don't look at me," and and Stone Cold was like, "You suck." How long? Like, so, the fact that to know that that was going on during that, like, the most super serious episode of Raw,
yeah,
is the funniest thing in the world to me.
Yeah. I could really use an Edge and Christian show on the network.
Yeah, and I partially was like, when they first announced it, I was like, okay, all right. Yay, you included Christian again. Congratulations. I don't care. Let's throw Edge. Just throw Edge in there and just. We don't need him. We don't need the two of them together all the time. But then I watched it. I was like, yeah, I'm glad Christian's there.
Yeah.
Fine. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, for some reason I forget that Edge and Christian together are incredible.
Yeah.
I know Edge is incredible by himself, but the two of them together is just this whole different thing.
See, I know you have your thing about Christian. I don't get your thing about Christian.
I know. Great, it's fine. Like, and that's mostly, like, his in-ring stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the later part of his career, I just wasn't feeling it.
That whole one more match thing totally worked for me.
And it totally did not work for me.
It did not for you, and I get that.
Right.
I don't know why. But that's
but like, if he had shown, like, the type of charisma that he was Captain Charisma.
Yeah.
If he was showing a little bit of what he had at this Austin podcast during his one more match thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been
like, I look back on the one more match thing as like the last good thing SmackDown ever did.
And that may be true. As much as I didn't like it, it probably is still better than anything else that's been on SmackDown since.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. But yeah, no, I enjoyed the crap out of that. Outside of wrestling, I finally finished the script to my short film.
Mm-hmm.
I handed Joel a physical copy, like literally right before we recorded this. Hoping to start I technically already shot one scene about a month ago, but I'm hoping to get the rest done within the next couple weeks, and I'm super excited about it. And yeah, it might be a half hour long inside joke, but I tried very hard to organically throw in details to catch everybody up, to include everybody. But I'm super excited, and I hope people like it, and I hope people laugh.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah.
Alright, anything else you need?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, who we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classroomreadingattire@gmail.com.
Don't forget, we're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You subscribe there. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff just really helps out the podcast with iTunes metrics things.
Yep, and if you are listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Don't forget to check us out on Facebook. Easy way to follow us. Easy way to follow the podcast. Kind of see what else we're working on.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.